It's not command control. I don't even need leaders that are empowered, because empowered people are people who have no power, and I have given you power, which means I can take the power away. That's not what I want either. What I want is emancipated leaders. I want leaders who get the vision, who get the unity, who know the word, and who run, who are free to just get it done because they know what they're doing is part of the vision. It's part of the overall goal. And I didn't give them power. God gave them the power, and that they feel confident in that, and they can just run free to do His will and use their gifts. So, man, that would be amazing.
This is the Build Groups podcast, where we equip and resource group leaders and pastors in the local church to make disciples with one another together. My name is Adam Ehrlichman, your host. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Build Groups podcast. My name is Adam Ehrlichman, your host, and our co-host Matt Moore with us today. I am very excited, guys. We have a phenomenal guest with us today named Bo Patterson. He's at Champions Forest Baptist Church. He is the adult ministries pastor. There is a large oversight of groups and discipleship ministry that he oversees there at his church. There's multiple campuses. And man, Bo, I knew Bo before he even went down there. And I remember some of the conversations we had initially. I walked away, and it was some of the most thought-provoking conversations I've had with ministry leaders, and just his out-of-the-box thinking, challenging people, empowering people. And so I know, audience listeners, you guys are going to benefit greatly getting to hear from him, getting to learn from him, and even really maybe just being challenged, not just how he's doing ministry, but with his mentality of approaching to ministry and how people-centric that it really is. That he truly, when he says he wants to empower people, he has a long history of doing that at multiple churches, being employed at Prestonwood Church, Lake Point Church, and other churches that you've probably heard of and you know. So, man, let's do this. Let's get to it. I want to allow Bo to introduce himself and tell him a little about yourself. But, man, Bo, how are you doing today?
Hey, Adam, I'm doing great. It's a wonderful morning here, and we're in Houston, Texas, so it's going to be high 80s in the middle of a winter season, so it's amazing.
Man, you know, we're loving it. It was like in the 80s up here in Dallas, and then all of a sudden it dipped this morning. The one morning I got up extra early for men's Bible study, and it was just breezy 40 degrees, and there you go, unpredictable Texas weather.
Yeah, man, that's great. I mean, we love it. So that's a little good segue there. I'm a Texan, so this is all very normal to me. You know, born in San Antonio, grew up in North Dallas. I grew up at a small church called Prestonwood that you talked about, and it was great. It was my home church. It's all I ever knew. And then I went out to East Texas for a while after I spent 8.5 years on staff at Prestonwood. And began as an intern or a resident. So I'm a huge proponent of churches that have internships, residents that help build leaders. And you know, the best thing to do is to build leaders, not buy leaders. And so they helped build me and released me to East Texas. Worked at a phenomenal church called Moberly Baptist Church. It has a special place in my heart. Love the men and women there, but they are a church that's getting it done. And then we just need to get back to the Metroplex. And I worked at Lake Point, another small Tiny. Church over there in the Metroplex, and just good people. Yeah. And so I was the pastor of ministries there. And so 20 years of experience total, but really all of it in adult life groups or leading teams, high levels of just having to work with a kids ministry, student ministry, adult ministry, decisions, connections. And so it's been a wonderful 20 years, and I absolutely love where I'm at here at Champion Forest.
Yes, that is quite the resume as far as small churches go, from Prestonwood to Lake Point, Moberly, and to Champion Forest. You know,
so yeah.
I feel that, man. You know, I didn't join my first church until I was about like 21 years old, because I got saved at 19, and the smallest church we've ever been a part of is the one we're currently at, which is about 450. And that's just mind-blowing to some people. But, man, you know, tell us, let's get a little bit more into your role now at Champion Forest. And thank you for sharing your background. It's always helpful for our listeners and audience to see where you've come from and where you are now and past history and service and experience. But what does your current role in ministry look like right now? What do you oversee? What's kind of the week-to-week, day-to-day stuff look like for you?
Yeah. So I'm the adult ministries pastor. And so for now, primarily what I'm doing is helping all of our adult life groups really do two things. And this is my mantra: healthy groups, new groups. That's all we talk about. That's all we're going to do. And so we're going to be all about helping groups become healthier, to make sure that they are sharpening the saw, to quote Stephen Covey. They're growing as leaders so that they can then produce more leaders and to help them become new life groups. I also dabble in membership and decisions, our counseling in the sense of decision counseling at the end of a service, baptisms. And so I really get to lean into a lot of that, all the leadership development, strategizing of how we are going to continue to make disciples and let them use their gifts. So that's primarily what I'm overseeing right now.
Now, that's a lot of different things you just listed out there. Are you doing all that yourself? Do you have staff that you oversee that helps kind of do that? And if so, how many staff do you have?
Yeah, that's good. So no, I'm not doing it by myself. I would never, ever attempt to do that by myself. We have 10 amazing staff that help me. And so I have... from young adult pastors to senior adult pastors to our college pastor. We have residents, as I spoke about before, who are helping learn, and they're being able to actually do ministry, not just hear about it. And so that team of 10, as it stands right now, is helping us kind of build leaders to do all of that. So you'll hear me just say that over and over. I really don't want to do the baptisms. I want to train leaders who can help run baptism, or I want to train leaders who can help groups become healthy. So we're responsible for primarily equipping the saints. That's our job description.
Gotcha. So give us a little bit more context. We ask everyone this question, right? Sort of a little bit about metrics around your group's ministry. And audience listeners, the reason we do that is for your benefit, so that you can kind of not just copy and paste some type of thing that they're doing, but you can see the scope, the size, the responsibility level that Bo has in his ministry and what that looks like, either staff or no staff. And you take the principles and apply them properly into your context, not just kind of rip it off and go when your church is nothing alike Champion for. So. There is a volunteer crisis in the church today. What are you doing about it? Build Groups Coaching and Consulting helps churches build a custom, discover, develop, and deploy new volunteers and leaders process to increase your volunteer base by 30 to 50% in 6 to 12 months. We do this with churches over and over again, all shapes and sizes, all across the country. To learn more about how we can change your ministry world, deepen your bench so that you never feel the pinch or pain of not having enough volunteers or leaders in your ministry again, go to buildgroups.net/consult. So, Bo, man, can you give us a couple just different metrics, kind of some of the group types you guys have? Are they on or off campus? How many groups? How many leaders? People in groups? How large is your, you know, entire church sort of thing? So can you kind of give us a quick rundown of that?
Yeah, that's great. So, I know every church is unique, and I would say, isn't the stat something around 90% of churches are under 200 people, you know? So, like, even though I might say the 200 in regards to an entire life group is the size of 200, we have a life group that, Adam, I've told you this in the past, it has, as of this past week, 700 people.
It's grown.
And one life group. And so... it's grown, man. It's a church, and we all know that we want to encourage people in that. But overall, our church is around 8,000 And so God's really had his hand of favor and blessing, and we're just seeing tons of people from our community come back to church after COVID. And our adult groups, or all groups really, are about 60% of that. And so 20%, or I don't know if 20% is the exact thing, but around 2,000 of that is adult life groups. And so as we look at this, it's over 50 groups that are mainly on-campus life groups, mid-sized life groups, around the 25 to 30-ish range, knowing some are a little bit bigger and some are smaller. And so with that balance there, we're definitely wanting to take some ground, get up to around 70, 75% if we can get people into community. But it's all going to be if we are able to build leaders. It's going to all rise and fall if we're able to develop and deploy leaders.
We're going to talk more about that. And I think Matt wanted to ask you, I'm going to let him ask you a question. But man, yeah, I love you're saying build leaders, train leaders, equip the saints. I know there's so much more that we're going to dive into and talk more about that.
Yeah.
Hey, just on your last question, it gave me pause just because 700 people in one group, you can't just like throw that out there and not explain what that looks like, what that means. I'm sure I'm not the only one asking that question, so would love to hear what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the parable of the talents. And so this specific teacher, just God gave him 5 talents and he came back with 50. Like, he didn't come back with another 5. And so we say, hey, we're going to pour gas on that. We want to encourage this. We want to support this. And so this teacher, his name is Mark Lanier. He is phenomenal. And he's loyal, so no other church start reaching out. He has just the ability to teach God's word. People have surrounded around community in there. I mean, this group even decided to do a class lunch. And, you know, people would say it can't happen. But a restaurant who's closed on Sunday, I won't tell you who it is, but a restaurant who's closed on Sunday in Houston, they opened up just for this life group. And they all figured out a way to pay and do it all. And the managers and the workers had a wonderful day for them. And so there's ways to make it happen if you want.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. So one of the questions we like to ask, just because there's every church has even like different names for their groups. But really, like, what's the purpose of the groups? What role do they fill in your local church?
Yeah, that's great. So we have life groups, and life groups are kind of the newer iteration of just naming groups. You know, we don't call them Sunday school or education, classes. We are really about that life on life. And so the purpose, if I could boil it down, would be that people are inviting others into friendship and community, that they are then focused around a biblical worldview through studying of scripture, and that they then live that out by serving each other and loving each other. So we found people who have experience in another part of the church, maybe serving in ministry, like kids or students, they think they know what life groups are until they experience it, and then it's completely different. It's a community of love that's trying to support them and lead them. It's not just information dump. It's life transformation. And like I said, it's life on life. People doing life together.
It almost sounds like you want them to live out the biblical principles of the one another's.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Awesome. One another's are extremely powerful. Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And so what are some of like the hopeful outcomes you desire for the people in your groups? And you've already talked a lot about your leaders. What role do your leaders play in that?
Yeah, so our leaders, we really want to just continue to sharpen them and to develop them. And so the biggest thing we could do is that we would be unified to make disciples. That is like first and foremost. We want people making disciples and multiplying disciples. We also want them, and we're very clear about this, you exist to love the community. You exist to be a blessing to those in our community, to serve them, to meet their needs, to take the gospel to them. And finally, you exist as a life group leader to help us strengthen the church, the big C. And so what we do on Sunday is not just going to help champion Forest. We're going to take what we do here and we're going to refine this process, and we're going to send you on mission trips, and we're going to help you equip church plants. We want you to be the workforce and really the army that's going to help us do those three things. So make disciples, love our community, and really strengthen the church.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Is there something specific you're looking for when identifying like leaders and investing in them? Like, what's that process look like?
So, I mean, mainly what we're trying to do is we rely on a lot of our leaders to point us to potential leaders and to help us know our people better. And we don't want to raise the bar so high that nobody can reach it. We want, Adam has shared this illustration, but if there is an apple tree and there's this fruit on there of leadership that we want people to reach for, we want to be able to build a ladder that helps them take the steps to get that fruit. We don't want to cut down the tree and just say, well, anybody can get it. We want to really give intentionality. And so we're not looking for leaders who are fully developed, that came to us from another church 100% ready to roll. We're looking for people just where they are and just take their next leadership step. So we're very open. We have a very wide range when it comes to what someone can do for the kingdom and what their next step is.
Man, that's awesome. Good.
Thank you.
I love that. And thanks for the credit. I don't know if that's an illustration that I probably borrowed that from someone else as well. But you know, I'll take it, man. I don't get it really hardly ever. So I feel the love. I feel the love, man. I do.
How do you train small group leaders and teachers? Group Leader Training, a biblical manual for small group leaders and teachers in the local church, is a holistic 5-session training based on Acts 2:42-47 that trains group leaders to deepen community, encourage growth, mobilize group members to service and sharing of their faith with unbelievers. Course videos, belief assessments, and more resources are provided online with special access through the workbook. 50% off bulk orders is available exclusively on our website. To learn more, go to buildgroups.net/coming soon.
So, you know, let's kind of zoom in a little bit, Bo. You know, as we are talking and discussing groups and discipleship, really at this macro level and looking at all the working parts and the pieces, and all the people and the leaders and the processes, I think there's so much value. And I think some of the best conversations that we can have at times really comes into, what does it look like for my personal involvement in a group in my local church? So not just kind of being the conduit in which, you know, maintaining or striving to help build out all those things to have a healthy, thriving groups ministry, but what is your personal involvement in belonging to a group in the church, and what can that look like for other staff and pastors at a church?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting like part of church work. Is it's hard in the middle of a Sunday morning to jump into groups and to keep yourself away from maybe 20 other groups that might have a need arise. And so, but if you are able to find a group, then it's hard to be transparent. It really is. It's just hard to be like, hey, this is what happened at my work. Well, everybody knows where you work. And
my boss is
everybody
horrible.
Knows who your supervisor is. And, you know, so it's just a little, yeah, it's hard to, you know, maybe share. And so instead of just having shame or guilt about, well, I guess I just won't go to groups, I think there is some power in, well, do what you're doing. You can find community not just in a life group. You can find community among your leaders and among your relationships with them. And so there's a book called Empowering Leaders that I've loved. And it's this pastor who just, he wants his church to all be about empowering leaders. So one of the ways I've developed community is I'm doing it strategically with leaders, not with a group. And I'm gathering leaders together in cohorts at 8 a.m. before church ever begins. And I'm I'm getting to know individuals on a really deep level over multiple weeks by asking them about their family, their hobbies, asking them about their dreams, asking them how they're growing spiritually and what their next step is in leadership. And I'm actually finding more. It took 20 years to figure this out. I'm developing a healthy, strong community with these men and women who they feel like they have to lead groups. They don't even feel like they can be a part of the group because they have to be the leader. And so their transparency is somewhat, shackled or caged. And with other leaders, they open up. So I'm trying to find ways to create community with my staff and with my leaders outside of life group so that the community in life group is even better.
That is so insightful. I don't think we've heard an answer quite like that when we've asked this question of others that we've interviewed on the podcast, where we've just, kind of said, well, what does that, personal involvement and group for you to have community yourself or to build that community? And that is a unique take. I don't think that we've had. Matt, have we had anyone answer in that type of way with leaders and building community? Because they feel a lot of the same things like pastors do at times.
Exactly. Yeah, it's one of the most lonely positions in the church.
Yeah, I think one thing I love about it is the intentionality that you've put in place. Because I think we're susceptible in leadership roles is, you started by saying, man, it's hard to be able to share, and it's like, yeah, that can be the case, but that doesn't mean that's not important to have in your life somewhere. And so, like, you need to be intentional as a leader, especially as a ministry leader, to have a people you can't be transparent with. Like, the enemy wants all that stuff in the dark, right? He doesn't want light being put on the difficulties we're walking through. And so, as pastors, as leaders, being with others that we can be open and share and transparent with for the good of the church, the good of your walk, and the good of the health of your leaders and your groups is so important. So I love the intentionality you just put behind that and realizing that about the culture you're in, that, man, it's hard to be transparent in that. So I need to find a place to do that.
And
so
I think that's true of most church cultures and leaders who are like in a group, right? Where it's, can I share this with my group? Will they see me less as a leader? And right, obviously as pastors, it's like, can I be transparent and open about my own hardships or trials or struggles and or even temptations? But we would usually always tell our group leaders is, and I tell other churches this too, is how can we ask group leaders to help others build community when they don't have it themselves? And so you have just right. Like laid such a foundation, man. Like that was, yeah, we have not heard anything like that. That was phenomenal. Now, so Bo, in light of these leaders and you building these relationships and helping cultivate that community so that there's no lonely leader and they have community going into trying to build community with their groups. If there were like a few things that you could just brag on about your leaders, about how God's worked in them and through them, like what are some of those strengths in those areas you're like, man, our group leaders, bam, love this about them.
Yeah, we have such a legacy of spiritual development at Champion Forest that, we live in a world where biblical literacy is becoming fewer and fewer among evangelicals. And so that is one of the things that I just love. Like, I love that our teachers, they are so biblical literate, same with our class, that's a high level of trust I have with them, that I know when they lead and what they teach is going to be done in a way that really pushes people to live out the Bible in a real way and to believe what it says. I mean, to actually believe what it says. Don't just teach it, but to believe it. And so it's an amazing thing about Champion Forest that you can walk in and have people who love the Word and love others so much. And now what they're looking for me to do is, how can we reach more? How can we invite more people to be a part of just learning to love Scripture and love others? Really, it's the great commandment, the great commission, And then it, there's also a great commitment, though. And that's what that's just some language we use around here, that we want to be about each other, and we want to be about taking the word out to others. But we've got to help other churches, and we've got to help other leaders, and we've got to make a commitment that it has to be more than us. And so that's a strong suit that I can just stand on. I am literally standing on the shoulders of spiritual giants who have led this ministry before, and that's a blessing.
Praise God. What a joy and a delight to come into that type of legacy ministry with leaders like that. Laity leaders, right? Not just staff. You're talking about lay leaders who are leading these groups and teaching and discipling. And so, man, now you get a package from Amazon, it comes into you, and inside there's a genie in a lamp, and you rub it, and he says, hey, you get one wish. You can improve one thing in your group's ministry right now. What would that be? What would that one thing be in your group's ministry that you oversee, and you go, man, I'd snap my fingers, I'd really like us to improve in this?
Well, man, I mean, I know what I want, and that we're headed there. So we've been looking at Amazon for this.
It's just not available on Prime.
it is. Yeah, seriously. I say it too much. But it's leaders, and let me be very clear. I don't need leaders just to do what I say. It's not command control. I don't even need leaders that are empowered, because empowered people are people who have no power, and I have given you power, which means I can take the power away. That's not what I want either. What I want is emancipated leaders. I want leaders who get the vision, who get the unity, who know the word, and who run, who are free to just get it done, because they know what they're doing is part of the vision. It's part of the overall goal. And I didn't give them power. God gave them the power, and that they feel confident in that, and they can just run free to do his will and use their gifts. So, man, that would be amazing.
That's phenomenal. I love that language.
That
Sorry,
is,
man. I don't mean to interrupt.
Awesome.
Just empower, emancipate.
No.
That, I mean, just the language of just, it feels like chains broken off. I mean, like literally, and I know that's a lot of what that means, but then just the way you're communicating to your leaders, hey, I'm not empowering, like God's empowered you already and is continuing free.
Right.
I mean, right. Royal priesthood of believers, right. To go and do the work of ministry. That, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. I love just even kind of the heart behind it. Like, hey, these aren't like my people that I control and I'm in charge of. Like, these are men and women that God's entrusted me to lead. And so, like, man, I want them to use their gifts. I want them to thrive, and I want to be there to help support and be the biggest cheerleader to help them, man, just invest in others and make disciples. And I love just like the way you talked about, yeah, just helping them be in a position where they're thriving and using their gifts. And that's awesome.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's what, I mean, I think we lower the bar when it comes to what a leader can do. And if I don't have a hole for you to fill, then maybe you can't be a leader. But there is so many ways our church can use God's will and focus more on his will and his wisdom. And it's that Blackaby quote about find out what God's doing and go there. Like, just be about what God's doing. But don't be about, you know, like, you can't do just anything, but you can be focused and you can be about his work.
That's good.
That's great. That is great, man.
Where do you find new volunteers and leaders? Build Groups offers a one-time, two-hour Discover exercise virtually or in person with your church staff and team, and help you build a long list of potential new volunteers and leaders you can invite and onboard into a training process to deploy them into the specific ministry area that they are called to. We've helped churches build a list of nearly 400 names. If you would like to do the same
and not feel the pinch and pains of volunteer holes every week, go to buildgroups.net/CI. Select Discover Exercise, submit the form, and we'll fill your ministry bench.
So we've titled this podcast the Build Groups Podcast. I had a conversation with a church yesterday that was like getting ready to start a groups ministry, and then had another conversation last week with somebody that had a pretty large one, and it's like, man, what do I do? Like, how can you encourage me in building groups in their local church? Like, what's some advice you would give to somebody leading a groups ministry? How to build groups?
Yeah, I think a lot of times what people just need to do is it's just ready, shoot, aim. Just do it. Like, just get off your hands and move. Like, get people learn by doing, and people will grow as they do, and you keep a fence for them to run in, like I said, and you keep some guidelines. But one of the best things you can do is just do it and help lean in as you build leaders as you do it. Just get it going. And I've always used this percentage to help me know what the goal is, and it's however many people you have in life groups, just divide that by 100, and that's how many groups you should shoot for that year. And so, like, I told my team that, and I said, hey guys, we have 1,500 people. If we're going to take out the 700 class, all right, I'm just going to take that one out. But we have 1,500 people in mid-sized life groups. So we need to be starting 15 new groups a year. And people's eyes get real big. And I've talked to a church of 100, and they said, man, we have 50 people. And I said, you need to start one group a year. And they said, I could never do that. But just thinking big, and we're not going to start 15 by sitting on your hands. Just go do it. Like, just go find people and let the work kind of be a filter on if God's blessing it or not. And I'd rather you start 15 and we end up with 10 really healthy ones and 5 just didn't make, then we just shoot so low that we started 3 that year and 2 were good. So I think my biggest encouragement to churches is just go. Like, just get about God's great commission and share and get out there, and he will help show you along the way. And that's the story of Acts. Some churches got it, some churches didn't. Some churches needed more work, some churches made, some churches didn't make. But Paul just got after it.
Yeah, I don't know if you've found this, but I have, is that we'll make decisions for people. They're too busy, they have too much going on. They have you know, 7 kids. There's no way they're going to want to lead a group. You know, like we put all these different barriers in front of people that sometimes aren't even there. And so, like, we've leaned into, like, man, right, let's let them 100% tell us no. Like, not pressure them, but let them say no, because it's not our decision to make sometimes, especially for people who are qualified leaders. Like,
yeah, let them manage their schedule.
Yeah. So I would love to hear from you. I mean, You're leading so many people, and I'm sure you've got dozens and dozens or hundreds of stories of life change in your group's ministry. But would love to hear, just give us one story, man. We'd love to just be encouraged by something that's happening within your local church.
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I do stories, I do most recent stories, because I think I like to exaggerate all the old ones. They get bigger. The fish gets bigger, you know, the more you tell it.
Give us an old one. Give us a big one.
I just do fresh stories because that's what, I know. You know, and Eric, thank you so much for just inviting me.
Oh, wow.
Me.
Yeah.
This story's going to help.
Man.
And, you know, that your viewers, that these
this is
viewers
what I get
would
for
be
telling you
my
the
face.
People call me Eric.
But
you just slide that right in.
No, man, you're great. You be you.
Eric's my favorite.
So here's a story. So people tell you, yeah, people will tell you you can't start senior adult life groups. Like, they will say, oh, they already know everybody, and, you know, they're great at care and support. They've got a casserole in the oven at all times in case somebody, you know, is sick. And that's really, we just got to care and go to Branson. Like, if we can do those two things, we have a successful senior adult ministry. And we just don't believe that. We just don't think that God's done with any generation. And so we challenged our senior adults this past January to start groups. And one of the greatest stories was a phenomenal leader who's already teaching, but she felt God had more for her. She began a off-campus life group. So this is kind of one of our first. This is a new thing. But she started it in the home, the housing that she lives in, with other senior adults. And, you know, it's like a senior adult community. And she went on fire for evangelism and started inviting people from that community. And it broke her heart that 90-year-olds don't know Jesus. And yet they are statistically, like, going to see him pretty soon. And so she just got after it and invited people to an off-campus life group. She had 17 her first week. Only 5 of them were connected to our church. A lot of them, it might have been their first Bible study in their life. And she said, I've already asked for enough space in the facility to host 35. And I want to fill it up all with people who are far from God. And it's like, man, that's what I'm talking about. Like, everybody was like, we're good. Like, we're fine. This is what most churches would say. We challenge that there's more to be done. And people will respond to the call of leadership and step up and make a difference. So, huge blessing to us. And we're celebrating our senior adults just as much as we celebrate new millennial life groups or even Gen Z. God cares about them all.
That's quite the opposite spectrum of where we usually hear stories of life transformation. The ones that we've heard, and I mean ones I've heard in ministry, it's oftentimes a 60 and under or a 50 and under. Right. You know, it's like, hey, this teenager or this young family or this, you know, 40 or 50 year old, and you hear just this radical story of this just unbelievable. And, you know, I think with what you're sharing and you're telling there, it's almost truly, I mean, right, the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and right, they're stuck in their ways. It's this thing. And, you know, and there are plenty of those who are older in that age bracket that don't, and they may be so crusty. Like, I don't think we can even crack through that crust to get the gospel and Christ into their, you know, their being. But my goodness. And so just her heart was broken, and she went out and she pulled people together, and yeah, man, through community, a group, got them the gospel.
Yeah, it's huge, man. It's huge. And the more we can see leaders of all ages just step into God's will and God's calling, and the more I think God will smile upon us.
Amen. Well, Bo, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. That's all we have got time for, man. And Matt, thank you as well. It has been a privilege to be able to have you on here, man, and to hear about your ministry and to hear you share. We've got a saying. We say, build leaders, build groups, build disciples. And this particular interview spoke to that in so, so many ways. But audience listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Bo, his ministry, what he's doing, he's at Champion Forest Baptist Church. We'll have some notes down on the episode podcast description there. And man, Bo, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank y'all.
Thanks, Bo. Appreciate it, man.
Yes. Well, that's all we got time for today, guys. This is the Build Groups Podcast. Adam Ehrlichman, your host, and Matt Moore, our co-host, signing off. Have a great day.